It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway, and the Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by National RX, where we are this afternoon in Farragut. Number 1, Tua Tagovailoa traveled back to South Florida with Miami Dolphins and was in good spirits, according to Coach Mike McDaniel, after the quarterback was stretchered off the field, taken to the hospital during Thursday night's game against the Bengals. Tua was diagnosed with a concussion and is in the protocol, according to the Dolphins, with no timetable on his return. That's going to be a huge problem for them if he's unable to go, man. And that stinks, Bear, because he was...
he had finally... Yeah. It had all seemed to... Finally, the light seemed to come on. He's got... You know, dynamic playmakers, and I mean, they were 3-0 and probably had a good shot at getting a 4-0.
Well, and another example of my, just take about how it's for quarterbacks, talented quarterbacks, it's all about being in the right system, the right culture. And, you know, he's a great example of a guy that looked like a bust and just somebody who wasn't going to work out last year. All of a sudden, you bring in a new coach, offensive minded guy, and he looks like a different player. Impact of coaching, man.
Yeah.
Cannot be understated.
So, but we'll see. Bridgewater's, as far as backups go, I mean, he's a pretty good backup. So.
Number 2, college football this evening, intriguing matchup in the Rose Bowl. 15th-ranked Washington goes into UCLA. It's a 100,000-seat stadium, Bear. How many people do you think will be in the Rose Bowl tonight to watch Washington and UCLA?
Without checking the temperature that's out there on my phone, I mean, if it's a nice evening, I would say maybe, 5,000?
That's so sad.
I mean, it's gotten to the point where Vanderbilt got to where it's like, I mean, honestly, like, we aren't going to call you on it, not, you know, count everybody, but – I mean, it's below a high school crowd, dude. There was one game where there's no way they had more than 1,500 people in that place. And just think about the money that they're losing. But, I mean, it's – you know, you heard – I think it was Rusty. It may have been the day – yeah, it was the day you had to take off early for Little Man's game. Like Rusty explained during his call. It was a really cool call. Like how far, like, the Rose Bowl is from Westwood and – kind of laid it out for everybody, and I mean, that's why Aikman wants him to build an on-campus stadium.
It wasn't a problem for them in the 80s and 90s. That's all I'm saying. They ain't moved the Rose Bowl. They ain't moved UCLA campus, and I mean, they used to draw huge crowds over there. It's both. I mean, they're 4-0. Both teams are 4-0, but they just haven't looked very good. I've got that's one of my gambling picks this week. I've got Washington covering 2.5-point favorites, the Huskies, tonight down there.
Michael
Number
Penix.
3, Major League Baseball tonight. A pivotal series begins in Atlanta as the Braves host the Mets for a 3-game series. The Mets have a 1-game lead in the National League East. It's Max Fried going for the Braves against Jacob DeGrom tonight for the Mets. The ESPN FPI gives the Braves a 51.4% chance to win tonight.
Poor Brandon, the Mutts fans. It sets up for just a perfect weekend. I mean, this is how it should be, shouldn't it?
It is, but dude, is there a part of you that kind of miss it with all the wild card and all that stuff?
Like the old way?
It matters, but it also, both teams have already clinched playoff spots, so it's almost just sort of bragging rights and avoiding the Dodgers in the first round.
I'll tell you, what bothers me the most about it? It's not the wild card. It's that they got away from it, and I understand why they did it. It's a TV thing. It's a money thing. But do you remember when some of these series, these games would be in the, like, late afternoon, dude, in the middle of the week? I mean, it's just like, but Major League Baseball, everything, it didn't matter. It was Major League Baseball. You were going to watch it. Back in the old, you know, I mean, we're getting up on the porch again.
You'll still see some of that. Some of those, a bunch of those playoff games will happen during the day starting next week. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Finally, number 4, junior welterweight Luis Quinones has passed away of a boxing death to report today. He's 5 days out from being hospitalized following a knockout loss to Jose Munoz down in Colombia. He's 25 years old. And unfortunately, you see these stories a couple times a year in boxing. It is the sweet science, but it also probably the most dangerous sport one can engage in.
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. You think boxing's a lot worse than MMA? As gruesome as MMA can be?
I don't know if it's a lot worse, but fighting experts will tell you, yeah, I mean, just as far as the head injuries.
Because you're just standing there taking shots at each other's head in boxing, basically.
Yeah, you're kicking and, you know, grappling and stuff in MMA. And this is a little bit counterintuitive, but the gloves are less padding. So you just get knocked out as opposed to just, you know, you can absorb a lot of punishment with your head with those boxing gloves. And that's why you see all those punch drunk fighters. We haven't seen much of that in MMA. We probably will because it's such a young sport and a lot of those guys are still young. But all right, Chuck Liddell, you know, he's in bad shape.
Is he? He hasn't been on anything anymore, has he?
I don't think he's been retired for a long time, but I think like Ali.
Just retreat from public life.
I don't think it's like that, but his last couple of fights, he kept getting knocked out. He kept being concussed and he kept coming back and coming back. And I do think he fought Tito Ortiz again a year or two ago, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I guess it's
level
like,
fighting anymore. It's just kind of sad.
Yeah, you don't. There's no, you know. You just. They need to stop at that point.
They need the check, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess so.
That is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you by National RX, where we are this afternoon, your home for the Fan Run Sildenafil special. Get Sildenafil at the unheard-of price of just 50 cents a tablet. We're talking about the generic form of Viagra, folks. These pills, when broadcast online or on television commercials, can cost up to $3 a pill. It's the same thing. You'll be paying six times less. If you're paying $3 a pill for this stuff somewhere else, folks, cancel that subscription immediately and call our folks down here at National RX. Get hooked up with them. All you got to do is mention you heard about it on the drive. They can even mail it right to your door. You don't even have to come down here. Go to nationalrx.com, find the phone number, call down here, let them know you heard about it on the drive, and they'll walk you through the simple steps to get the Sildenafil special here from National RX. Open lines this hour. If you want to jump in, now is the perfect time to take a shot. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board. We'll start with Hillbilly Bopper. Good afternoon, Hillbilly. How are you, sir?
Doing good, sir. Making a drive through the whole state of Alabama. Just getting back up to West Tennessee for the weekend. Going to my alma mater for a 20-year class reunion with the family. So,
congrats.
It's great. Yeah, in the Cotton Belt down here in Alabama, and had to stop for a minute. But, yeah, thanks for letting me on, Russ. Hey, I wasn't calling to bash Bob at all, but, you know, I love Bob. I met John Wilkerson for the first time in my life last week at the Florida game, and one of the nicest guys, part of Ball Network, and I really love what those guys do. I mean, every week, I know they've got a lot on their plate and a lot that we can, you know, we can take and listen. I'm one of those guys that grew up that, you know, we were listening to John Ward every Saturday. If me and Dad had to go out and chop some wood and, you know, get some stuff done, we had it in on the truck. But, I agree with some what previous caller said, but you know what? You know, I got to give Bob props. He's got a lot on his plate with the program and with what he has to come in to do, you know, week in, week out. But I listen to Mike Keith every Sunday. And I've listened to Mike Keith because I can rarely get Titans games in Atlanta on TV unless I, you know, pay for a subscription. But I love listening to Mike Keith because every game he gives his, you know, I guess just his props to John Ward of what he says. And to me, it's great to hear Mike Keith. I wish we had Mike Keith in the booth at times, but yeah, man, I'm just looking forward to the rest of the season, guys. I'm so excited. I took my daughter up for the Florida game, and it was her first win as a kid that she can remember. And one of the best moments of my life with her, just like my dad took me when we won in 98 against Arkansas. And I can't, you know, imagine us not having a colorful play-by-play announcer to call games like that. But she's not going to know that, you know, because we're not like those guys from the World War II era there that, you know, we don't go in with the headsets on, and there's not many people anymore that does that. And I think it's going to take us back to the days when we will have somebody that is a little bit more colorful. But, you know, Bob is who he is. I mean, he's had the same tone ever since.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Bob's a great dude and a great friend of the show. And I think he's done a fine job over there. I do wonder how much longer he's going to continue to do it. And it'll be
Bob
a highly sought after position once he decides to hang up the headset.
How old is Bob? I know everybody's talking about. I cannot listen to the usual suspects that call any of these games that Tennessee plays in. So I like Bob. In fact, I love Bob.
This is a hard gig, man. I mean, I'm sure people talk about us like that. We have our detractors, man. Like, nobody likes the TV play-by-play guys. Nobody likes the radio guys anymore. Everybody just hates everything now. It's but the age of the internet. Everyone's a critic.
Just from listening to you and Terry, and then I know Rob Damasus, who does the Catholic games with Big John Wilkerson. Hey, have at it, Bright Eyes. You go up there and sit in that chair and do it. I think it's one of the hardest jobs in the world to do what those guys do. But yeah, I don't know. I'd rather talk about all these.
We're really splitting atoms here.
I'm not
every
talking about me and
I
you.
I find myself thinking, man, I wish I were on top of a roof in the middle of summer, 90 degrees, bearing down. At least those guys don't have to put on the headset and take calls from Phil and Hillbilly Bopper.
I wasn't talking about us. I was talking about guys like, you know, Bob and Bert and Pat and, you know, those guys that actually do the games, and John. I mean, that's
865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon as we break things down to levels that can only be described as beyond scientific.
Hey, what was
make a pick on my Titans taking on the Colts in Indianapolis this weekend? I mean, Brandon Orick.
I mean, that's what I was getting ready to say, man. This is a full-on – I can feel the just raw hatred that's flowing between the two of you all and my friend group.
There's no hatred. What are you talking? There's no hate. Brandon Orick's my guy. I mean, yeah, it's not – I feel for him. I really do. A Colts fan and a Mets fan living in Braves and Titans country. I mean, you talk about bent over a barrel with no place to go. That's Brandon Orick right now. Because you're facing a motivated Braves team, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we swept the Mets, honestly. Honestly, I wouldn't. Brandon is in Springfield. Good afternoon, Brandon. Let's try that again. Hello. Brandon is in Springfield. Good afternoon, Brandon.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I'm down here in Spring Hill smoking a brisket, doing as good as a D-list country singer can do, enjoying this weather. But
Brandon.
Yeah, the D-list country singing Brandon. singing Brandon.
The barbecue
you're
Brandon.
A-list in our book, man. I mean, if you're D-list, what are we? We're like down in the P's and Q's.
No, y'all are household names around my house this time of year. We love listening to you. But, man, I like Bob, too, man. I was 10. I know y'all probably ready to move on from this topic, but I was 10 when he took John's spot. And, in no way did I hold him to the same standard. I mean, that's just silly. I think he took on probably the hardest job in the world. But you know, there's just going back and listening to John Ward, he spoke with a whole different dialect and language. You know, he was truly a master. But, guys, this LSU game, I'm not telling y'all anything new, but I'm sure this has been brought up. But y'all remember after we got the big monkey off our chest back in 01, I was 14. We beat Florida finally. And y'all remember who we played next, right?
After we beat – in 01, yes, yes. I'm going to bring that up this afternoon. That was brutal.
Well, we've got a good opportunity to kind of make that right. You know, we went and lost to LSU, and I want this one really bad. Maybe it's because I got family that are diehard obnoxious Tiger fans, but I would love to go down there and win. And I appreciate shout out to Hops and Hollers. They invited me and my wife to their tailgate, so there's strength in numbers. So we're looking forward to going down there and wearing orange. But I don't know. I can't help but feel this. It feels a little trappy to me. Is that what's the vibe you guys are getting about this game?
Well, I don't think it's a trap game to us as fans because, I mean, look, we all know what LSU is. I hope it's not that way to the players. I would think that they remember that 2019 team. I mean, that was only 3 years ago. It's one of the quote-unquote best teams in college football history. And you're going into one of the most intense environments in college football history. I would hope that this game has their full and complete attention moving forward. I would be stunned if – I mean, I understand what you're saying. You know, a trap game is that happens sometimes. There's a letdown, and you're looking forward to a bigger game coming up. But in my mind, this is a huge game. You're playing LSU in Baton Rouge. It doesn't get much bigger than that.
Yeah, and, I mean, more to the point, I don't look at it that way. This is a game where, as a program, we owe these guys. It's not a trap game. We owe these guys, and there's no mistake that they know exactly what we aren't going to come in there and surprise them. They know what they're getting out of us.
That's true.
And it's, I mean, these two programs have a long, you know, we don't get to play them as much as I would like, but a pretty good rivalry for teams that don't really see each other as much as we could.
Yeah. Do you guys
these games are always huge, huge games, Russell. The LSU-Tennessee games.
But do you guys think that matters to – I mean, we talk about the 0-1 game, and I like Brandon's I like where he's headed with this as far as, you know, it's like, hey, man, we're exercising all the curses. We're settling all family business, payback 21 years later. But for 18, 19, 20-year-olds that are going to be out there deciding it on the field, I just don't think – you know, 2001 is ancient history to them.
No, I'm
talking
about
them
the fan
since
base.
2017, and I doubt if any of the players remember that game either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. No, definitely I think more of a fan base thing.
Yeah, I mean, for the kids on the field, it's just a simple fact. These guys all know each other. I mean, LSU is LSU. Half the guys off that 2019 team you're talking about are balling out in the NFL, so they see them on Sundays. So, yeah, it's really fresh, but I don't think this is a trap game.
Good. See, that's why I called in and get a little sunshine. But it would be awesome because I heard some boys on the radio tell me 1989 was the first or the last time Tennessee and Alabama played each other undefeated. So that would be pretty special.
Good stuff, Brandon. But, hey, dude, don't come in here with that D-list. Dude, you're a star right now. I'm looking at your iTunes list. You got albums up there, singles galore. You're big time, brother. We need to get together with you and have a jam session sometime.
We've got a band, Brandon.
Hey, let's do it. I look forward to it.
Thanks, man. That's Brandon Lay, L-A-Y. Go check him out on the iTunes machine. Great Tennessee fan and supporter of all things Fan Run.
Yeah, I always forget that he's the country music guy.
Oh, he's big time, man.
Because he's, you know, he's just one of the guys around the water cooler thing we do here.
No doubt about it. Let's keep things rolling here. Actually, we're going to take a quick timeout. Trey and Jamie, hang right there. We're coming to you guys next when The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Linderman Sports Medicine, the Volunteer State's leader in orthopedic regenerative medicine. Founded by VFL and fan-run listener Dr. Laura Linderman in Memphis, Linderman Sports Medicine can get you back in the game of life without going under the knife. So if you're ready to get back to doing the physical activities you love without having to undergo painful and risky surgery, visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com today and get back on the road to a healthy, active, fulfilling life.
Hey, Bo Kregner here at the Kregner Group. And in this ever-changing real estate market, buying or selling a home can feel exciting, risky, and overwhelming all at the same time. Here at the Kregner Group, our goal is to eliminate the stress of the process and help you reach your desired real estate outcome as quickly and easily as possible. So whether you're searching for a home to create unforgettable memories with your family, or you're ready to turn a profit on the home you've owned for some time, my team is ready to make your vision a reality. Call me today at 865-742-1035 or visit our new website, teamkgrealestate.com, and let us show you real estate the right way.
It's time for the North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. Brought to you by North Knox Siding and Windows. Call 865-689-0505 or visit them online at northknoxsidingandwindows.com.
This week's North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week is Maryville quarterback Matthew Klemmer. Klemmer helped lead the Red Rebels to a 42-14 victory over Science Hill last week. Klemmer completed 23 of 31 passes for 213 yards and three touchdowns as Maryville won over the Hilltoppers. Maryville High School's Matthew Klemmer, this week's North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week.
North Knox Siding and Windows, locally owned and operated, they can handle all your siding, window, gutter, and roofing needs.
Flip Bear cruising along with you on a Friday afternoon edition of the show. Let's get right back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines where Trey is up next. Good afternoon, Trey.
Hey, guys. So Bear may not do show prep, but I do. So I usually come
You wait just a dadgum minute, Trey. You're not going to come in here taking shots at me, buddy.
I think you just did.
Bear,
wow.
I thought that's like your thing.
I'm just sitting here relaxing on a Friday afternoon. I did not expect to pick up it wasn't a stray. I mean, he just walked up and just shot me right in the chest.
Head on a swivel.
All right. Well, anyway, one thing, first of all, I got to address some previous takes. I'm always a day late on everything. Blue cheese on a steak is phenomenal. Anybody who thinks otherwise.
You're pandering to Russell. Keep going.
No.
You're pandering, dude.
All right. The next level is Boursin cheese on a steak. Go get that Boursin fillet at Connor's. It'll change your life.
Boursin cheese is top notch. You ever had that, Russ?
I don't think so. Oh. It sounds incredible.
It's like
it tastes like cheese.
It's like an herb buttery. Goat cheese, right? Buttery kind
of. Yeah, it's something like that. It's super light. It's like cream on top of your steak. Oh, it's phenomenal. You got to try it. The Connors does it really well. There's a couple other places that has it, or you can do it at home. But, you know, I highly recommend it. It's better than blue cheese. Second, I gotta help you guys out here. Oh, this whole Checker Vandy thing. I think there's another dimension to it that if you're not on the if you're not familiar with what Reddit is or the CFB or college football subreddit, that's where a lot of this. That's where this originated. That's where a lot of this animosity toward Vanderbilt comes from. Is the mods on there have absolutely trashed UT over the years. I mean, like, just mocked us on everything you can imagine to throw in. And I don't know how some Vanderbilt people became mods of the subreddit, but that's where a lot of that animosity comes from. And this is kind of a way to – it's a big F you back to those guys. So there's another dimension to it, and I think a lot of people are missing it. And so that's I kind of wanted to clear that up a little bit. I personally think it's awesome. I think anytime you can stick their nose in it, do it. And I know we should treat them like, you know, a pile of dog poo we step in every year. But the fact is, somehow they've managed to beat us more than Kentucky has in the last 10 years. So I think one final slap in the face on the way up to put them back in their place is perfectly okay. Number three, South Carolina. By God, if Shane Beamer is not the most Tennessee hire that we didn't make. I tell you, I looked at that guy last night and I just saw, like, just nightmares. An alternate universe where we hired that dude. And
yeah.
They're terrible, man. South Carolina is a trash team.
I'll be honest, Trey. I was a little bit, I don't want to say worried, but, you know, just kind of watching them over the offseason. It's like, okay, the Rattler kid was a great prospect coming out, obviously, and he did put up some numbers. Like, he had some big games at Oklahoma, so there was a part of me that was a little bit concerned that maybe they might get things rolling. Watched a lot of that game last night, and, boy, they are a mess. Marcus Satterfield, who's their offensive coordinator, who used to be here at Tennessee and I believe played here nearby growing up, East Tennessee native. I mean, he's really struggling there. Rattler does not scare me at all. He's inaccurate.
Did you see that where he ran into the end zone and he literally was holding the ball with one hand? I mean, dude, we'll rip that sucker right out and take it the other way. I was blown away. He didn't even tuck it or anything. I understand faking it out. If he was past the line of scrimmage and he just, you know, ran all the way in with just the ball dangling, it's like,
I knew that thing was headed off the rails. They wear a 1% sticker on the back of their helmets. I'm not making this up, because Shane Beamer says it's imperative for their program that all their players get 1% better every day. Where did we hear that? That sounds familiar. I've heard that somewhere before.
I try and get 1% really better every day.
2.0.
That's right out of the book of Botch.
He is Butch Jones 2.0. And there's another universe out there somewhere where he is our coach right now. And I'm telling you what, I'm so happy we live in the one that we do, because I think that would have been the thing that finally drove us all to insanity. I feel bad for South Carolina fans watching that dude. Like, when you see him in press conferences, the way he just, like, flicks his head side to side. I mean, the dude's a maniac. Like, I would not be surprised if he's a serial killer. Like, there's just something really wrong with that guy. I'm taking shots, Russ. I'm firing away. He rubs me in every wrong way imaginable. Maybe I'm too traumatized from the Butch years. But I'm not worried about them at all. I'm happy they made that hire. They're just terrible. But that's all I've got for today, fellas. I just wanted to get those things, you know, off my chest and let you know a little bit behind the checkered bandy thing, where that was coming from.
All right. The internet holds grudges, in case you were wondering. Thank you, Trey. I like Trey. He was prepared today. He came on. He had a checklist of takes. He just sort of knocked them off one by one. There was a lot going on there.
I just think it's kind of weird that Collar would do show prep.
I mean, I'm not going to discourage it. It's a solid phone call. Folks, portions of the show today brought to you by our friends at FanDuel, where football season is rocking and rolling. Now's the perfect time to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your bet doesn't win. Just sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 to get started. They've got all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to same game parlays, player props. They've got it all. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started, so you don't even have to get your bet in before the game kicks off. And as always at FanDuel, when you win, you get paid your winnings fast. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with promo code DRIVE1 for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code DRIVE1. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older and present in the great state of Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Back to the busy, busy phones we go. Jamie is up next. Good afternoon, Jamie.
What's up, Russ?
What's up, dude?
So, you guys have ever come back back over Henley Street Bridge right there, coming back towards town? The 303 flat apartments have absolutely obscured our vision of the sweet Neyland Stadium facade.
What are you talking about, over on the south side where Baptist Hospital used to be?
Yes, right before you come, when you're coming back over, headed towards campus, right before you get to the bridge, you could usually, you used to be able to look off to your left and see, you know, the three pictures of the, well, I guess we had to sit through Butch Jones, but, you know, I was just coming back a little bit ago, and it just made me think about it. I
jump out at you a little bit, huh? I don't know. I mean, it's, as far as, I mean, Russell and I and Christopher Gabriel and Christopher's brother-in-law, Kevin, got to eat at Calhoun's on the River, and honestly, I was just, from down there, I was just, I think I remarked that it was nice to look up there and not see, you know, basically an abandoned hospital. And at least it, you know, looked really nice. But
yeah, what is
it? I mean, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up, but we need housing in this city. I mean, if you got to move, I don't know how people afford apartments anymore. We're running out of places to live.
Find another place. I just can't believe that they let them do that, man. I think the only really good place to see that. Is it the south end zone that sets up against the river there on Neyland?
Yes.
That south end zone? So I guess the only place to really see that, the back of that Jumbotron is from Neyland looking straight up to get a good view of it.
Well, Jamie, we'll certainly pass your concerns along to the developers and the Metropolitan Planning Commission, but I don't know if there's much we can do about it at this point.
Picking up your sarcasm.
Really? I think he's being subtle.
Guys, it's been a fun week, hasn't it, man? You know, it sure has been fun sitting on the back end of a Florida win, and we still got another week to roast in it. But I guess after Monday is game week, so it'll be on to LSU. So I've just certainly enjoyed it. It's been so long since I myself I can't pretend. I know a lot of everybody else could, but and I'm happy for everyone else. But man, for me, it's been something I haven't had experienced in a long time. Feeling good about our football program, so it's been a fun week, man. I really hope it continues, and I hope he continues doing the things that it's going to take to get the talent in here. So I'll just not to beat a dead horse, guys. I just got a few things to clean up. I like the direction of the program. Let's sign some defensive and offensive linemen, pull some in from the portal, and man, you know, the sky's the limit, man. I got no problem seeing Heupel handle business. Get me through this LSU game, which is going to be one for the ages. I kind of wish it wasn't not, but I like the advantage for Tennessee playing at noon. But man, I just can't imagine. I wish young Marcus was here. Just you thought that Florida atmosphere was something, man. If you enter the Bama week undefeated, woohoo! Oh my goodness, we'll be a Barry by Wednesday. We'll be calling
we'll be blown away. Is what we'll be.
We'll be calling for a win. Yeah, that's all I had, man. Like I said, it's just been fun. It's been different for me this week and last week. I kind of felt it going into the Florida game. I thought we'd win more comfortably. I did say we'd win, but I thought we'd handle them. It's just a couple plays throughout the game. You know, it's football's, we watch a lot of plays and it comes down to one or two or three. You said that catch by Ramel Keaton was something else. The escape by Hooker where he was about to be sacked and ran for 44 yards was solid in that game too. So,
I mean, Princeton Fant, I think Russ brought it up earlier in the week, that third down catch on that drive, the third and 10, when he caught that and got the first down. To set up the Keaton play and then the Hooker scramble. So there were so many of those moments in that game.
I know, man. It's like every Tennessee-Florida victory in our minds, guys, we can sit back and, you know, remember the 92 game, the 90 game. And when you do, you start picking apart memories in your own head about, you know, the game, the kind of things in those games that turned the tide our direction. So, you know, this is something these guys that haven't, you know, got to have that we had growing up. They get to have something like that, which is cool. So the Brew McCoy touchdown, I guess, where he was running across the back of the end zone, that was a great throw by Hooker to get it out in front of him. and not to, you know, because he was well covered, get it out in front of. I don't know if that was third down or not, but that was big.
That was a big time playing throw and catch by both of them.
Throw and catch, yeah. Couldn't agree more. Guys, y'all be safe this weekend. Gonna miss out on the voluntary reaction. I wish we had something that we could do pregame, guys. I don't know if I've asked y'all this. I know that Jake and them put together something earlier in the year. Do y'all do something? Does Fan Run do anything on the reg pregame?
Yeah, well, Tennessee tailgate.
Tennessee tailgate that Jake and Adam are doing. I mean, I'm all about providing the content, Jamie, but between 15 hours a week of this show and then
half-time
voluntary reaction, I mean, I can't, and the halftime pairs, I can't be on the entire time. I don't know. Maybe I should be.
No, man, listen, we've got more Russ is always good. Don't get me wrong, man, but I wouldn't expect you to, you know, you've got enough going on with the halftime and the post game. So don't, you know, never pull away from that to give us a pregame. But I was just thinking some of the younger guys. Like
I know what you're up to, Jamie. I know what you're getting at.
We going to put something together, Bear?
No. If you can get somebody.
Jamie's angling for some mic time.
No, he's wanting to know. Jamie's wanting the Saturday show.
Oh, never. Hey, man, I'll never turn down a Saturday show. Those some fun times, man. We used to have a good crew calling some Saturday, doing some Saturday shows around here, and I miss it. But I just was curious if they had anything on the reg. I knew they'd done something, so I'll ask Jake when and where to tune in. But like I said, guys, it's been fun this week. Looking forward to next week. We're undefeated for another 7 days, and I hope we can call it another 14. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. We pause for the cause. More of your phone calls coming up after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russ LeBaire cruising along with you on a Football Friday edition of the show. 865-546-8200 if you want to get in on the action. And the Vols are off this week, but really is a great slate of games, Bear. So I'm looking forward to it, man. Premier League is back, so I get up and have some coffee, watch a little soccer, and then that'll feed right into American tackle football at noon.
When's the Derby?
The Derby.
Yeah.
When are we what playing Derby?
Man U.
Kentucky Derby?
No, MCFC versus Man U.
Are you trying to say Derby?
Is that what you guys call it?
That's how it's pronounced. That's not what I call it.
British thing.
It's what it is.
The Derby.
Manchester Derby. Yeah. That is this weekend. Is that tomorrow or Sunday? I'm not sure.
I'll probably have that on. So I don't watch Russell. I don't watch. This occurred to me last week. Not only do I not watch, but I haven't watched in years the College Game Day shows. Like I hear you guys talking about it. Apparently, Corso's still on ESPN's, but I stopped watching them.
I don't watch much anymore. Occasionally, like last week, I flipped it on. I had it on in the morning at the house just because. But I'm not sitting there with rapt attention just watching game day.
Yeah, but I know when I stopped.
I'm telling you, the Fox one is much better. Like, that's actually – I don't make it a point to watch it, but when I'm around and there's no soccer on and I'm watching, like, they do a lot better. And their game tomorrow, Michigan at Iowa, I'm actually kind of curious. I mean, Iowa City, I don't know if you've seen – it's they've beaten something like four or five top five opponents in a row there. I mean, it's where top five teams go to die. Michigan, and you've got
and Kansas.
One of the best.
I mean, barring I don't know whatever. I can't remember who it was. It was just so upset about the disrespect the Kansas football program was shown last week. But I mean, who have they played?
Well, you've got the number one scoring offense in the country in Michigan playing at what I believe. I have to double check this. I might be wrong. The number one scoring defense in the country of Iowa. And I think Michigan's catching about 10 points there. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all, or Michigan's favored by about 10. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Iowa springs the upset. I mean, this feels like we're due for a classic Jim Harbaugh meltdown.
Well, I could see that. I could see this being a really boring game to watch until like the last 45 seconds. This is Big Ten football that is most least appealing to me.
So you'll have that going on simultaneously with number 7 Kentucky at number 14 Ole Miss.
I will be watching that one.
Yeah, Ole Miss a 6.5-point favorite there. Now, Chris Rodriguez is back for the Wildcats, and they have not been very good running the ball. Not as good as they thought they would be. Their offensive line has looked suspect at times. This will be an exciting game and a contrast of styles. You would think that Kentucky would want to go much slower than Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, and this is one of those games that, like, who gets the stops? I mean, that's my question, is who gets off the field and whose defense plays better?
It's Kiffin's going to be – that Ole Miss team's going to be hard to slow down. I mean, they do that – I mean, from what I've seen of them, especially in the Georgia Tech game, they're just power-rushing monster. And they can control the game, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Chris Rodriguez is back, but that offensive line they had last year is still gone. It'll be interesting to see if he's able to get traction. I mean, he hadn't played in what? Has he been with the team and just not allowed to play in the games? Or has he been suspended?
He's been around the team, but this will be his first game of the year.
Okay. So I wasn't aware of what all the suspension entailed. I didn't know if he was separated from the team and just working out, or if he's been going through practice and getting reps or what. So that would be my other big concern with him. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, because I think that Kentucky defense is, I mean, we've talked about it, they were very disciplined against Florida. And they're a pretty good bunch. Where are they ranked right now, their defense?
Who?
Kentucky's.
I don't know. I think middle of the pack, something like that.
But they haven't really played anybody. I don't know. This is one of those weekends where we're going to get some answers, early answers about some teams. We're going to find out what they're really about.
The 3:30 window features three top 25 matchups. CBS has number 2 Alabama at number 20 Arkansas. Fox has number 9 Oklahoma State at number 16 Baylor, and ABC will have number 22 Wake Forest at number 23 Florida State.
I think I picked that one earlier. I sat in with Talk Sports. I was going with Wake on this, simply because I feel like Dave Clawson, very consistent coach, Russ. Consistently pretty good. I'm not that impressed with that Florida State team.
I'm surprised that they are not getting more traction. Number 23 for a 4-0 team that beat LSU on a neutral field in the Superdome. I mean, they've looked a lot better than I thought they would be. I'm not ready to crown them or chisel Mike Norvell's tenure in stone for another year down there, but I kind of like them to win at home. Yeah.
I mean, Wake Forest should have beaten Clemson. But coulda, shoulda, woulda. I mean, they had Clemson on the ropes and just couldn't finish them.
Now, I'm not sure what Florida State's quarterback situation is. Remember, they're the guy, Travis, he got hurt at Louisville, but then they brought in some backup who was, like, slinging it all over the place, looked better than the starter.
Interesting.
So I'll be interested to see that one. But Mike Gundy just kind of doing his Mike Gundy thing, just very quietly just putting up huge numbers, huge points. I mean, they're kind of like us. They just go out there and score a bunch of points and don't stop many people, but it don't matter.
This game is definitely one that I'm planning on giving a lot of attention to. Baylor, Oklahoma State, Dave Aranda. Oh, and, you know, Baylor against Oklahoma State. I mean, these games are always really good football games. Big high scoring craziness going on.
Yeah, I'm not super impressed with Baylor. The one time I saw them play against BYU, that was a painful game to watch. Just from offensive football.
I haven't watched them yet this year.
I see Okie State boat racing those guys. But then Alabama at Arkansas, this is one of my picks this weekend, Bear. I got in on Arkansas at plus 17. Alabama, four of their last five true road games have been one-score games. And they've been double-digit favorites in all of those. So they've, you know, I don't know if it's fair to say, oh, they're not good on the road.
Yeah.
It might just be they get everybody's best shot on the road. But you're talking about an Arkansas team after losing to A&M again last week. They're kind of backed into a corner in desperation mode. And that dude, Pittman, strikes me as the kind of guy that you don't want to be like when he's in a corner, he's going to come out swinging.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I picked Arkansas as well. I just thought that was a huge number. I wonder what the number would be had they not doinked that the field goal and actually beat A&M.
Maybe a little lower. But
then again, I mean, the thing that gives me pause is this is one that I would probably stay away from because with a quarterback of, you know, Young's ability – I wouldn't put it off the table, man. Bama's got some athletes. I mean, they aren't as good as – they may not be playing up to the level that some of their previous teams were at offensively yet this year. But, I mean, don't kid yourself. Those guys are all – they're all four and five stars. Maybe the lights just haven't come on for them yet. And they can light it up, man.
Indeed. Indeed, they can.
I mean, does that give you any pause at all in a game like that? I'm starting to understand this whole thing now. Cody's been helping me. Does that not give you pause? I mean, that's a big number, but it is Alabama. How many times have we seen this movie before, Russ? They go up there and steamroll the Hogs.
Well, but again, that has not been the trend when they play on the road, and that is a difficult place to play in Fayetteville. I'm sure that place is going to be packed. They're a good team. For Arkansas, it's so much to me about just the simple things when you're not necessarily super aggressive offensively. And I do think there is a little bit of a misconception of them being like lining up in the I formation ground and pound. They're more aggressive than that offensively, but I mean, you go back to last week, KJ Jefferson fumbles going in the end zone. You miss a field goal off the upright. Turnovers and the kicking game, if they don't make mistakes there, you know, the team that makes the fewest mistakes will win. If they just don't do that, I don't know if it's enough to win, but I think it's enough to cover a big number at like 17. I see this like a 42-28, 35-21 type game for Alabama.
You think they're going to score that much on that Bama D?
We'll see.
I mean, every time I see them, they're knocking people out of games, and, I mean, they play rough, bud. I'm really worried. That's the one thing I worry about Alabama with us is how physical they are. They may not be the best defense they've ever had down there, but they're rough. They're dirty. So – but, yeah, great lineup this weekend. We haven't even talked about the NFL yet.
Yeah, we didn't even get to the night games either. NC State at Clemson, another. That's a top 10 matchup. Dave Boren-Doran's Wolfpacks at number 10 against the fifth-ranked Clemson Tigers, who have, another misconception there. Clemson's offense isn't very good. Go look at the numbers. They're in top 10 in total offense and scoring offense this year. They've been putting up good numbers. I think they might have that fixed. Now, will it be, you know, enough to knock off a good NC State team?
Defense looked kind of leaky last week, which shocked me.
Yeah. We'll see. Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear with you this afternoon. We'll have your top five at five coming up next, and we will do more phone calls. Open lines coming up next hour right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Crown Cleaners,